Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, not quite, but he'll be here momentarily. Do not fret. I'm Chris Elio. It's the Steve Jones Show. Filling in for Matt Catrillo, producer extraordinaire, and we may call him Daddy now, for he is out on paternity leave. Congratulations to the Catrillos. I will let him come back and talk about what it is he had, what the name of that thing is, and so on and so forth. But for right now, we're here to talk about sports. It's 3 o'clock. It's the Steve Jones Show, brought to you by Sunbury Motors today. Sunbury Motors, it's the place to go if you need a car. They also have great garage, the quick lane, Sunbury Motors. It's been around for like, 10,000 years. Is it 10,000 years now?
Hey, Matt Catrillo, congratulations to Matt and Lisa.
Yeah, absolutely.
Luke Joseph Catrillo was born at 5:09 yesterday morning.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. And everybody's healthy and doing well, yes.
Yes, it's all great.
I got the frantic text New Year's Eve. Can somebody please work for me?
So just our luck for the audience. The audience has been aching for this to happen. And that is, what position will the Jets be drafting? Okay, so
hey, they finished 7-9. They finished 7-9. Now, true, so true, they lost to the two worst teams in football, but they finished 7-9.
Unreal.
Talk about luck. They finished just as well as the Steelers did. Let's be real.
Yeah. Hey, don't look at me. I don't care.
I'm just saying. Hey, I'm speaking to the ghost of Sean Carey. Okay, there you go.
The ghost of Sean Carey. Yes, and don't think that's not a factor.
How was your holiday, Steve Jones?
Excellent.
Good.
Excellent.
Your Penn State. I heard, you know, I watched the game, so I didn't hear your call on it, but great game.
Penn State. They won.
They played very well. It was a good game for a while, and then they pulled away. It was nice.
Yeah.
They made me money for once.
But, yeah, good. That's really, in the end, what it's all about.
That is what it's all about.
I know when after the game, when I saw James, I mentioned that that made you some money.
That's right. I'm sure he's happy about that. Baylor's pissed, though. I'm pissed at Baylor right now.
I feel awful for Charlie Brewer.
But that Rose Bowl last night, huh? Great game.
Yeah, it was a great game.
That was a great game.
I feel awful for Charlie Brewer, though.
Oh, why is that? Like, what part of it?
The part where he hit his helmet on the field again.
Right.
And and he went in doing that, his helmet is the same thing that happened to him. It's the same thing that happened to him in the Oklahoma game. And when you hear him talk about what the experience was like, where he couldn't remember anything.
It's terrible.
Around it. And I see him laying there on the field last night. I'm like, oh, that poor kid.
And that's the type of thing that's not good for football at all. I mean, it's terrible for him.
No.
Don't want to make it a bigger picture type of thing, but that's bad for football.
Yeah. I mean, he elects to play, and
of course,
people have talked to him about, you know, do you want to keep going? He's like, and he gave him one of those, are you kidding me? Cut me a break.
Right.
Of course I am, because he loves the game. And to his credit, I feel that Charlie Brewer and I've said this before about him, is a good college quarterback.
Yeah, he is.
You cannot win games on the college level unless you have a lot of really good college players. That is a key. It doesn't mean they're pro or anything like that. You know, we base everything so much these days on the five-star guy. You've got to have 2,000 five-star guys. And all the five-star guys make the NFL. And no, they really don't. But you end up winning a lot of games because, you know, you do need the five-star guys. You need the Micah Parsons of the world who are just flat-out stars.
What an animal he is.
And play like stars. Okay? But there aren't enough of those guys out there. So what becomes a determining factor? Because there aren't enough, you know, Micah Parsons. The Micah Parsons of the world are not a dime a dozen.
No.
Okay? And you're fortunate to get as many of those guys as possible. But it's the guys that are really good college players that might be good enough to make it to the NFL, but still really good college players that win games for you. Trace McSorley was a really good college player.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, is he a star in the NFL? No.
No.
No, he's on an NFL roster, and he's there. And we'll see how his career plays out, but he's a really good college player.
Well, and he's also...
Barkley was a star.
Right. And he's also probably the kind of guy, Trace McSorley, that helps prepare the team. Like, he's probably
sure
a great practice squad guy
and a great...
You know, those guys work hard. They just work really hard.
I mean, I'll give you an example. A guy that turned out to be the star of all stars, but was a really good college player, is Tom Brady. Tom Brady was not a star in college.
No, no kidding.
But he was a really good college player.
Yeah.
And won a lot of games for Michigan. And when he was at Michigan, over and over and over again, editorials, fans, letters to the editor. This is what back when they had letters to the editor. This is before really... maybe had message boards at this point, maybe. But, you know, in letters to the editor or some stuff in the internet, whatever, Drew Henson.
Yep, he was garbage.
And Lloyd Carr said, oh, Henson was a great athlete. But Brady is quarterback. Brady's quarterback. You know how to play quarterback. And Lloyd Carr knew it. Lloyd Carr took a lot of criticism. What are you playing Brady for? He got a lot of, why are you playing Brady? And he says, look, we know what we're doing. And Lloyd Carr did know what he was doing.
Do you think it balances out, like, between the really good college players who turn out to be solid pros and the stars that turn out to bust?
Jeez, I don't know. That's a good question.
Because, I mean, like, you take, like, a Ryan Leaf, who was a superstar in college, and he was an absolute debacle in the NFL. Like, he was a mess in the NFL.
Well,
but then you take like a Vinny Testaverde, who was a superstar in college, and he was okay in the NFL. He was a solid quarterback in the NFL, but he wasn't a star by any stretch.
Right.
So like Bernie Kosar is a borderline Hall of Famer, but it's so weird. Like it's such a balance. It's such a weird balance.
Well, with Ryan Leaf, let's take Ryan Leaf for example, and it was very close for the Colts between Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning. Yeah, now you'd sit back and go, really? Yeah. But back then...
But in college, it made perfect sense.
But back then, I don't think people realized. Well, what we didn't know was the off-the-field stuff. Off-the-field stuff we didn't know about.
Right.
And that becomes the issue. We can judge on the field all we want. Wow, look how he moves, look how he runs, look how he throws. Okay, great. Well, you don't know what's happening with a guy off the field. And then the next part is, and this is the hardest part to predict, it is a chasm to go from high school to college. That's why I give so many of these guys like that make it look like it's relatively easy. They give them all the credit in the world because it's hard.
Yeah, when you have a freshman in college who's a star, yeah.
Right. It's a high school player to college is a chasm. Going from college to the NFL is a canyon. I mean, it's that much of a leap.
Yeah. No, it's true. The speed of the game is significantly different.
Speed, the size.
Yeah. Well, because you got to think about, like, in college, there's, like, what, 130 FBS teams? Now you're narrowing, you're taking the best of all of those teams and throwing them on 32 teams. Like that's
right, exactly.
That's like a third, a quarter of those teams. That's crazy. Yeah. I can imagine.
And you're talking, what, 2%, 3% make the pros?
Right, right. And then you're talking about other guys that have been there. Like, it's not like in college where the best a guy can get is 4 or 5 years in. You know, you're talking about, you know, a grizzled veteran of 10, 12 years who knows all the tricks and all, you know, everything. Yeah, it's a complete difference. It's light years of difference.
That's why I always laugh when I hear, oh, can't believe the Dolphins won. God, don't they need the first pick. Well, excuse me. If you walk into that locker room and these 10 guys right here are all, in fact, all of them, but let's just pick 10 to 20 guys. They're all playing for their jobs.
Yeah.
They don't give a darn about the draft.
Because they know the draft is a long-term solution anyway.
But they don't care about the draft. They got to care. Like, I got to play really well. I got to put down some tape or I stay in the league.
Right.
I need to keep collecting checks.
Right. The draft.
I need the team to keep me.
The 2020 draft is looking ahead to 2022 in reality.
Yeah. And guess what? The 2020 draft, they may be drafting a guy that takes my spot.
That too. Yeah. You're right. 100%. Yeah. It's interesting. That's why the whole tanking argument doesn't stick in any case. The management might be tanking, you know, the general manager.
You're right, Chris. See, that's where tanking comes in. Tanking comes in with the construction of the roster. But where tanking doesn't come in is the players are all trying to keep their jobs.
Right.
And the coach is trying to keep his job. To be honest with you, Brian Flores of Miami may have coached as well as anybody in the NFL.
Oh, he did a wonderful job this year. He did a great job. I agree with you. That team got better and better as the season went on. And they have nobody. Ryan Fitzpatrick is their quarterback. Interesting end of NFL season statistic, though, that blows my mind. And it goes back to the Colin Kaepernick discussion that we had weeks and weeks ago. Do you know that Jameis Winston threw 30 touchdowns and 30 picks?
I know.
What the hell? And he's going to command $80 million.
I don't know what Tampa Bay wants to do because Bruce Arians was not complimentary of him at the end of the year.
But he came out of retirement for Jameis Winston. Like, that was the point. The point of hiring Arians was to, and for him coming out, was to fix Winston. And he didn't do that. And now, granted, don't get me wrong, Jameis Winston, like, he had some games that were remarkable. Like, remarkable in a good way and in a bad way.
No.
And then on top of the 30 and 30 statistic, even more interesting is that, so since I've become a degenerate gambler this year, the most interesting statistic when betting the Tampa Bay Bucks is that the Buccaneers were 6-3 when he threw a first drive interception. Now, what's more interesting than the fact that they had a winning record is that there were 9 games where he threw a pick on the first possession. That's stunning to me. That's ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
I think the Jets should sign him tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. We've got Frank Bodani on in just a few moments. Boston College and Cincinnati are delayed.
Yes, due to lightning.
See? And that's the one thing that stops a football game.
And the funniest thing is, so I went to Twitter because that's the quickest way to find any news, it seems. And the actual Birmingham Bowl Twitter said delayed due to lightning detected in the area. And then PC Football, they say delay, and then it says almost made it as far as last year.
Right, exactly. See, I told you.
Taking your calls at 800.
Oh, okay. Thank you for interrupting us. I appreciate that. We've changed some formatting here at the station, and things are a little different, so sorry about that.
Including you, Sid, does this mean that, I mean, do you make in-game wagers?
I do, actually, yes. Yes, I do. I should have made a lightning wager. I didn't even realize BC was so prone to lightning.
Okay, so you make in-game wagers.
All yes, right. Yeah. So they have these apps now where you can cash out. You can, you know, in-game. Like yesterday, I made a poor choice. I had a four-game parlay going with all the bowls yesterday. Baylor went down early. I placed a $10 bet with an upside of like $250. They asked me if I wanted to cash out with like $75. I could have won $75. And I said, nah, I trust Baylor to come back. And that was the wrong choice.
What made you think Baylor was going to come back?
Well, because this was back when I think it was 10-0. It wasn't bad yet. I was like, 10-0. No problem. Yeah, we're good.
It was 10-0. And I sat there and I looked at it. And I said, the matchup's all wrong.
Hey, there was a point in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter, where it was 26-14 and Baylor couldn't move the ball and they pinned Wisconsin on the 1 yard line. And I'm like, all right. I said, this could be something. It turned out not to be, but it could have been.
Okay.
Hey, you know, got to hold out hope. Hey, man, I win more than I lose, so I go with my gut a lot.
Well, should have just texted me on the Baylor thing. I'd have told you don't bother. Seriously, I mean, it just...
Because I won big because of Oregon yesterday. They were underdogs, which surprised me in the first place, but...
Pac-12, Big Ten.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, Oregon, if you watch Oregon all year this year, they've only thrown up one stinker, like one real bad game. So.
It was Arizona State.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yep.
And I watched a little bit of that, and I was like, wow, they did not play well. I thought they played well against Auburn, should have won.
Yes, they should have won that game. That's and that, to me, that was the reason why I bet on them, because right. They should have beaten Auburn, and Auburn is, you know, legit, even though they lost to Minnesota yesterday. But
I think that yesterday Minnesota winning was more a reflection on Minnesota than it was on Auburn.
I also think it's a slight reflection, too, on how... I think the Big Ten does not get nearly the credit it deserves compared to the SEC this year. I really think, I mean, even though we're talking LSU being possibly the best team in the world.
Minnesota won. That was big. Now you got Tennessee, Indiana tonight. Yeah, the other one was Michigan, Alabama. And... I want to make a quick point about Michigan for a moment. Michigan is a really, really good program that can be dangerous on any Saturday. Okay? So again, let me repeat that. Michigan is a really, really good program that can be dangerous on any given Saturday. But they are not a great program. You cannot will a program to greatness. They have to establish their own greatness. James has talked about the elite programs, and, you know, let's face it, the elite programs are Clemson, you know, probably right now LSU, Alabama, even though they weren't in the playoff this year, but Alabama's proven it over and over again. Ohio State's right there. Then there's that level of great programs. They're right there. And any one of them can ascend into that spot of elite. Georgia's a great program. Georgia wants to talk about themselves as elite, but they're a great program that's made the playoff once, but they're a great program. Penn State's a great program. Michigan is really, really good, but not great. And I'm telling you, the last 15 years have shown that. They've had some terrific years in the last 15. But in the history of Michigan football, this year they ended up winning 9 games. Do you realize in the history of Michigan football, they've won 11 games or better 8 times total. Total, 8. And 4 of them were in the early 1900s. But look, we'll take the total. We'll take the total number here. 8 times Michigan has won 11 games or better 8 times. You realize Penn State's done that 6 times since 2005? Penn State's done that 6 times since 2005. They won 11 games in 5, 11 games in 8, 11 games in 9, 11 games in 16, 11 games in 17, 11 games in 19. Penn State's done it 6 times since 2005. Michigan's done it 8 times ever. It's not that Michigan... And Michigan's had, obviously, a terrific run over the decades. Okay. But even, for example, the 10-year war with Ohio State, the 10-year war with Ohio State came at a critical moment for Ohio State, Michigan, and the Big Ten. And when Michigan beat Ohio State in 1969, when it looked like Ohio State was cruising toward a second straight national championship, that was pivotal for Michigan football, for Bo, and it was pivotal for the Big Ten, because now in the TV era, where one game a week was on, or that last weekend they do a doubleheader, usually end up being Michigan, Ohio State, and UCLA, USC. That was the showcase game. And that became the showcase game, in part because Michigan beat Ohio State in 1969, which then launched the 10-year war. Now, let's get to the dirty little secret. About the 10-year war that nobody in the Big Ten or at Michigan or Ohio State ever wants to talk about. Exactly what was the record of Michigan and Ohio State in the Rose Bowl in that 10-year period? Oh, how about 2-8? 2-8. So when it came to New Year's Day, where now the entire country is watching you, Michigan and Ohio State did not exactly cover the Big Ten in glory on New Year's Day. Just didn't do it. So they had that game, which really helped the Big Ten because it put them on TV every week. But then when it came to the Rose Bowl, they went 2-8 during the infamous 10-year war. Michigan has been a really, really good program. But in the last 15 years in particular, Michigan has not been a great program. Absolutely.
Football's always there for us, right?
It's always there for us, and I was just talking about Michigan after yesterday's game with Alabama. I said, Michigan, to me, Frank, is a really, really good program that is dangerous on any given Saturday. But they're just no better right now than a really, really good program. Do you agree with that assessment or not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's where, you know, Penn State, that's the hard part for getting Penn State to that next level and staying there. But I mean, they've gotten, I mean, they've caught Michigan, if not, maybe past them. You know,
I think they're past them. I know what the head to head has been, but when you look at it, Frank, Penn State, Michigan's got eight 11-win seasons in the history of Michigan football, including the four that they got back in the early 1900s. Eight. Penn State's done it six times since 2005, and they've beaten Ohio State, and they've won the division, and they've won the Big Ten, and they've won two New Year's Six bowl games. Michigan's done none of that.
I mean, that's all great points, and I mean, it really matters between Jim Harbaugh and James Franklin what most everybody cares about. And you're right. I mean, the head-to-head, maybe not, you know, a drastic swing, but in everything else, right. You mentioned, State is ahead, and they keep the recruiting and developing going. They could widen it a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Penn State wins the game last Saturday. Hey, what were your thoughts on that game, Frank?
Penn State is developing, to me, a physicality between their offensive line and their running backs that they've been searching for, but I don't think really have had. I mean, they've had two dynamic running backs previously, obviously, but I think the combination now between the run blocking and running back room, to me, that's going to be the big key to 2020. Is you're going to lean on that position, those two position groups, especially the running backs, harder than anywhere else. If you can get them more involved in the pass game, maybe one or two of those guys in the return game. I mean, those are the most. I mean, that's where Penn State is. That's their surefire thing. I mean, the way they ran the ball. I know it's a different level maybe of competition in some degree on defense playing Memphis, but the way they controlled, the way Journey Brown and Noah Kane look in particular.
No question. I mean, those two combined for 294 yards rushing in the game.
Yeah, and Journey Brown is Penn State's most improved player. To me, he's their offensive MVP. He just kept getting better and better. Impressive the way he runs, not just the numbers he puts up. And he still has more to go. I mean, it's like, you know, there's some guys on that roster that are good, really good players, but have more in them, you know, more in them for next year. And him and Micah Parsons are the two biggest ones.
Yeah. Everybody knew ahead of time that Yetur Gross-Matos was opting for the NFL draft. And look, there are most people that think he's between 20 and 30. He should be going. What did you think of KJ Hamler? While not being surprising, what did you think of his decision to go to the draft?
Yeah, I guess I just came to expect that this was going to happen. I mean, he's a kid who a lot of production. We know what kind of game he has. The right system is going to translate to the next level. And how many hits can a guy who's 5'10 or so, 180, whatever he is, can he take? You know, it's limited, maybe, with his body.
Yeah.
And he's already been at least a couple of what appears to be concussions at Penn State. So I think his window is a little narrow. So he's got to take advantage of it if they're going to pick him high enough. And if he's getting the right info, then I think it's an individual, you know, because of his talent and his body type, I think, you know, it probably makes sense for him to go now. I mean, so I expected it. That's what happened. Penn State is going to have to step up. And that's, to me, that position group is their biggest question mark heading into this coming season. That's where they got to prove it.
Right. The decision on other fronts, which were already known, but the one that wasn't known ahead of time was Tariq Castro Fields. What did you think about his decision to come back?
I didn't. Guys like him, you never know what's in kids' heads. I mean, I would think it would make much more sense for him to come back, at least the way James talks. If you're not going to get picked in the first couple rounds, I don't think he would have been a first or second or third round draft choice. So if you have it in you, if you want to improve and go to school, for one more year, definitely think he should come back. And I think the hard part is that, you know, I don't know how banged up he really was the second half of the year. I mean, they didn't play against Rutgers, didn't play the whole bowl game. Maybe that affected him. I thought at the beginning of the season, I thought he was the best Penn State quarterback I've seen in run support, maybe in 25 years, the way he tackled.
Right.
Now, the second half of the year, I'm not, you know, I don't know. There was some, you know, some question marks there, but maybe part of that is, you know, his physical status, too.
Right. Interesting. What do you think the state of the program is right now?
Well, they're banging on a door. It's really hard to get through, but they're right there, you know? They're right there. To me, it's, you look at the wide receivers room, then maybe next position is safety. If you really can, and I think they have guys that can come in and make those two position groups stronger. And I think if they do that, they're right there again, right on the edge. I mean, the hard part is people are judging them by getting into the playoffs now. Well, how many teams get in? 4 out of 100 some. So that's a hard thing because I think they're right there. They're right there. They've gotten themselves, now they have the depth, the talent, the speed. If they just can improve a little bit here and there in a couple position groups, they're right there. They're maybe still a notch behind Ohio State with overall talent, but they're still a top 10 program. I mean, they've proven, as you started this conversation, they've proven they're a top 10 program again. There's not a lot to go from there.
Right. Which, yeah, and that's the amazing part. The fact they've been able to do is because, look, in 2012 and 13, we were not supposed to be having this conversation.
No, but you know what it showed back then is it showed the foundation of what I think Penn State football is.
Yeah.
You never know what's inside of you until you're pushed against a wall. And I think they proved who they really were at the base and the foundation. And when you have that kind of foundation, I think a lot more is possible than what people give you credit for. And that never fell apart.
Yeah, the foundation never fell apart because Bill did a great job, O'Brien, of keeping that foundation. Never talked about is the fact that Joe recruited that foundation, that kind of player. And then James has taken it to just another level. I made a comment in the Cotton Bowl at the end. I mentioned the 13-13 game that Wally Triplett played in 1948. I said 13-13, Jack, was the sign of the times. I said 53-39 and 2019, that's also a sign of the times. That's how much the game's changed.
It is, and I think it's interesting that Penn State has really had a pretty good pass game over these last how many years, but they did it the way they needed to do it on this given day, which is the other way with their running game. So they're not just winning and scoring a lot of points. I mean, they're showing they can do it in different ways. Yeah. And you know, I mean, it's really, I think, exciting for fans looking into next year because you have leaders back, you know, and you have things that maybe people don't always think about. I think their tight end room is going to be another, right next to running back, such a key figure because they have some young guys in there who I think could surprise some people, and if they want to utilize them almost as sometimes those guys can be just like receivers, wide receivers. So they might be in better shape catching the ball right heading out of the gate here than we can credit for.
Well, it's going to be interesting 2020, and I look forward to sharing a lot of it with you. I appreciate you very much. Happy New Year.
Oh, all the best to you guys. It's good talking to you, Steve. Enjoy
always
the week.
It's always great talking to you too, Frank. Thanks so much.
Sure thing. Take care. All the best.
Frank Bodani. Nothing but the highest regard for my friend Frank Bodani. Outstanding writer, even better person. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Last year, Boston College played in... I can't remember what the name of the bowl was, but it was in the old Cotton Bowl. And they got about 7 minutes into the game, and lightning hit. and they stopped the game, and then eventually they canceled the game. So now here's Boston College. 1 year and 1 day later, playing Cincinnati in Birmingham in the Ticket Smarter Birmingham Bowl. And once again, 7 or 8 minutes into the game, if you're expecting to view it on ESPN, you're watching NFL Live. Why? For the second straight year, the Boston College Bowl game has been delayed by lightning. Now, last year it canceled it. This time it's still in the delayed process. ESPN, to its credit, and they do this for Chris Elio, is still listing Cincinnati with a win probability of 64.5%.
Wow.
So far in the game, Boston College has outgained Cincinnati 11-10.
They should win for that reason.
Wow.
So last year's bowl was the First Responder Bowl on December 26th, actually.
Okay.
Which is crazy. It's crazy that Boston College is in this situation again. That's insane. You got to feel like a cursed program at that point.
Well, they don't have their head coach. I mean, they do have a head coach now, but he's not coaching this game. Because Steve Addazio, they fired him. And now they're sitting there in a lightning delay.
Crazy.
They must be sitting in that locker room right now asking themselves if they are bowl cursed.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Tonight, Indiana plays Tennessee. Nate Bauer, next half hour from Blue White Illustrated. As we continue with more Penn State football talk, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors.